Board has returned from recess. It's 10:21 a.m. We're going to do a roll call of board members and staff to make sure all are present before proceeding. Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Dr. King is still absent today. Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Yes, here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
And staff, Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Bryant?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Here.
Dr. Sinish? She's muted. Liz? Dr. Sinish, can you hear me? I believe she is unable to hear at this moment. And my name is Judy Chepius. Can Monica or Phoenix or Mindy, can one of you ping Liz?
Yes.
Here she's can join us again. The next case is hers. There she is. Dr. Sinish, can you hear me now?
Okay. Yes. Looks like she's trying to rejoin.
Yeah, she just left. She'll come back in a second. There she is. Dr. Sinish, can you hear me now? Does not appear that way. Liz?
There we go. Sorry, my audio was gone.
There you go. Dr. Sinish is present, yes?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. All are present with the exception of Dr. King. Who will be absent from all of today's proceedings. Dr. Bastillo, the meeting is yours.
Okay, we are on agenda item 9C, case 2413. Christian Urazink?
Urazink.
Yes, me too. Sorry about the name.
All right, case 2413. S.Y., who was a former patient of Dr. Urazink, PT-DPT, alleged that she engaged in an inappropriate relationship with him after he was discharged from the rehab facility where she worked and alleged that she treated him privately at his home after he left the hospital. S.Y. stated that their friendship turned into a romantic relationship just over 1 month after he was discharged. The relationship ended at the beginning of May 2024. S.Y. alleges that Dr. Urazink engaged in a relationship that was sexual and manipulative from day one. Potential violations identified in the investigative report include ARS 32-20-44-10, engaging in sexual misconduct. For the purposes of this paragraph, sexual misconduct includes A, engaging in or soliciting sexual relationships, whether consensual or non-consensual, while a provider-patient relationship exists, and B, making sexual advances, requesting sexual favors, or engaging in other verbal conduct or physical contact of a sexual nature with patients. And ARS 32-20-44-12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession, and as it relates to Principle 2, a physical therapist shall act in a trustworthy manner toward patients and clients and in all other aspects of physical therapy practice. Dr. Urazink is represented by Lisa Bivens. They were provided with a copy of the investigative report, and S.Y. had previously indicated to me that he would be attending today's meeting, and I believe he is on this call. S.Y., are you here today?
I am.
Okay. And I believe Dr. Urazink might be with Ms. Bivens, but I'll let her speak to that if that's the case.
Yes, she is here with me, present in the room.
Okay. This matter is for your review.
Dr. Urazink or Ms. Bivens, do you have any opening comments that you'd like to make?
Yes, please, briefly. So first, I'd like to just point out that my client is present today because she's here to answer any questions that the board may have. However, it is our preference that she be permitted to remain off screen until and unless the board has questions for her, because the complainant is attending and my client is uncomfortable putting herself in a position to be seen by him. So we appreciate the board's understanding and flexibility kind of navigating the logistics of this. I will say that we submitted a lot of materials to support the board's investigation and we won't rehash that information. We do hope the board members recognize that Dr. Juradzinyk is making every effort to be transparent and cooperative with the board and to meaningfully reflect on her own conduct. She does not believe that she's violated any board statutes or rules, professional obligations, but these kinds of allegations can really scare a young practitioner who cares about her professional reputation. And for that reason, she has proactively completed significant continuing education in the topic of professional boundaries so that she can make sure she's avoiding any opportunity to be accused of similar conduct in the future. And so with that, we are going to be present for any questions the board has, but otherwise we know that you have the materials to review prior to this meeting.
Great. Thank you very much.
Go ahead. Dr. Castillo, Ms. Bivens, is there a current order of protection in place?
There are mutual orders of protection for both the complainant and the respondent in this matter.
Mr. Harris, what do we do with that?
Madam Chair, Mr. Greer, members of the board, we discussed that prior to the meeting, and the orders of protection that are in place are really between the parties and the court, and they're here on their own volition.
So we don't have to worry about asking questions to one or the other and the other.
That is correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Patient SY, do you have any opening comments that in addition to what you've supplied to Dr. Sinish?
No, ma'am.
Are you willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes, with in mind that there's a possibility that I don't feel comfortable answering certain questions. I'm currently still seeking mental health treatment, just aligning my perspective with what's occurred. So just as far as my mental health is concerned, I'd like to have the ability to possibly not answer questions if it crosses that line.
Okay. Let us know how you're feeling about it.
Yes, ma'am.
Does anyone have any questions?
SY, can you please explain what your relationship was with Dr. Juradzinyk while you were in the hospital?
During my time under treatment, Dr. Juradzinyk was a treating physician in such that she conducted exoskeleton treatment with me. That happened maybe 4 to 6 times during this length of my stay. I'm not sure exactly the amount of time or the amount of hours that was.
Okay. Was there any outside relationship going on during that time frame?
No, there was exchange of some pictures from other patients as far as from Dr. Juradzinyk. As far as I took a picture with a patient that I became friends with, she actually took that on her phone and sent it to me. Other than that, there was no there's brief communication after that, but nothing substantial as far as relationships was.
Okay. So, and then when you guys did start an outside relationship, you had already been discharged from care from the hospital and were no longer under her care?
Yeah. Say that again, sorry.
When you did start an outside relationship with her, were you still under her care at that point?
Not via the hospital, no.
Okay. Thank you.
SY, this is Mr. Greer. When you were discharged from the hospital, were you still receiving physical therapy services from someone else?
I began physical therapy services from ANR, physical therapy, in Mesa, Cameron area, as continuing, and then some private care situations from Dr. Urasnik.
Okay, I didn't hear that last part. Could you say just what you said?
And there? Some private, yeah, as far as just private care situations from Dr. Urasnik. She would come to my home and help with additional treatments.
When was the first time you contacted or was in contact with Dr. Urasnik after you were discharged from the hospital?
I don't know that the communication ever stopped from the time that I had received the picture messages from her in the hospital.
So that communication was continuous from the moment that the picture was sent to you through the relationship. When did you first go out with, I'm sorry, how do you say this name?
Urasnik.
Urasnik, I apologize. When did you first go out with Dr. Urasnik?
As far as relationally or, you know, what in what context? Or,
anytime you had a social interaction with...
It was within the first 30 days after I left the hospital. I don't know the exact date, to be honest with you.
What was the... event? What was the first event?
The first event was coffee, I believe. The first event was coffee.
And then just describe your memory of that event.
She picked me up from my residence, and we had went to coffee about, I don't know, 15 minutes from my house. The conversation was less formal, more of a catching up basis. That's really, I mean.
And then did she take you home? Was that, it was just coffee and then she took you home?
Yes.
I saw somewhere that you went to church with her. Do you remember that?
Yeah, at some point. I don't know if that was, my recollection is still, I don't know which came first. I believe it was the coffee first and then church. Church we began going to together. One, you know, was, I don't know which came first. I know church was a big part of the intimate relationship that had begun.
And then you had a dating relationship for approximately 7 months?
Yes.
And that terminated in May of this year?
Yes.
From your point of view, why did the relationship terminate?
I think there were some differences. I was at a loss, at why it ended at first. I look back now and, you know, I could see more signs, but, unfortunately, like at that time, I had put, you know, arranged to move in. We were moving in together. Finances, like, I mean, we were within weeks of signing the lease together. When there was an argument, and that argument resulted in the breakup. So there, it wasn't, I don't know per se.
What was the argument about?
I don't recall.
I've seen some text messages where it appeared to be maybe about money. Was there an argument about money?
No, not during that time. There were arguments about money afterwards. He said, she said, but there was no financial arguments during this time of the relationship.
Do you have a date of when the relationship ended?
I don't.
So I'm looking at text messages dated May 12th. Is it your understanding that those text messages occurred after the relationship had ended?
Yes.
Okay. So by May 12th, the relationship was over.
Yes.
Okay. These text messages, you want to talk to Dr. Yuraznik? Is that your memory of these conversations?
There was a bunch of different types of conversations that we had. Of course, I wanted closure at the time, and there was a lot of unsettling. You know, I a lot of my foundation from the last year was intertwined with Christine, and during that time, you know, it was essentially having, you know,
and the reason I'm asking is it appears that some of the motivation that you have for making your complaint is because that Dr. Yuraznik wouldn't talk to you.
No, the motivation for my complaint was after talking with my therapist, and talking with my support system as far as friends and family, I see the inappropriateness of the relationship. And the complaint was initiated out of a concern that this behavior was unchecked, and that it was inappropriate at least and unethical, basically.
And I'm not going to disagree with you at that right now, but I'm looking at a text messages that appears from you, and just tell me if you wrote this. I've held off trying to be able to have a normal conversation, but you just want to go ghost. I'm willing to talk and when I get home tonight, but if you're not, then I have no other option. The ball is in your court. Did you write that?
I don't recall writing or not writing that, honestly.
All right. And then you later wrote, like I said, I'll let you know when I'm home to have a conversation. Dr. Yuraznik then told you not to contact you further, and you said, best of luck. I will make sure Honor Health and the board know exactly what have occurred. Goodbye. Did you write that?
I don't know. Okay. In my emotions, I'm not saying that I didn't write that. My intention from the beginning, and I did contact Honor Health, and all I anticipated, even from this conversation, even the complaint, was not. I don't have any gain to get from this. The hurt and damage has already been done, but to allow something or allow a professional to continue, you know, that's at the end of the relationship, which I agree there are high emotions, but the unethical and the part of the relationship that was concerned the most is how it began and how it continued to begin with, not how or why it ended. But how or why it began and why it was continued or substantiated in the even at the fundamental level.
And that's why I will tell you I have concerns about that as well. But I also have concerns about using the board as a tool.
It's not a retaliation, right?
To retaliate.
I can assure the board that I contemplate it. I didn't respond to Liz, the investigator, quite a bit because I was during this entire process in constant communication with my support system, my mental health professionals, to ensure that my motivation wasn't to cause hurt where hurt had been done, but that my motivation was in lieu of the fact that I wanted to protect other people as well as make sure that there was an awareness brought to the situation.
I appreciate your comment, but do you have your text messages with Dr. Yuraznik?
No, I don't.
You don't. No. So it looks to me like these are your communications. Does that sound like something that you would have said in the heat of the moment?
No, not necessarily. No, sir. I'm pretty calculated as far as the way I communicate. And I'm pretty level-headed. I admit that this has been detrimental to my mental health, but it doesn't, I'm in no way malicious. And in fact, I care about Dr. Yuraznik regardless of the situation.
Let's talk real briefly about the letter that Dr. Yuraznik wrote. You know what letter I'm talking about?
I my attorney has that letter. I don't. So I didn't. I was with her when she wrote it, sent it. I don't have much recollection at all.
Did you add anything to that letter?
No, I did not.
So everything that is in that letter is something that she wrote?
Yes.
Do you understand that she's claiming that you added stuff to that letter?
I don't have any understanding of that. This is her hearing of that, but.
But you didn't write anything, any part of that letter?
No.
I don't have any other questions for SY. I have some questions for Dr. Yuraznik.
We're ready to answer those if that's the appropriate time.
Dr. Yuraznik, I will let you know I have read everything that you've submitted. Can you tell me from your point of view how the relationship began? And I'm really, really, really interested on the dates. I know that your attorney's letter was a little vague on the dates, and it was a long time ago. I understand that. But as best as you can remember, when did the relationship start? How did the relationship start? I can't tell if you went to coffee or church first, and I'm not sure that matters, but I do know when, I think I know when you went to church, and so that's why I'm trying to figure out if coffee came before that or not. I would like to know your opinion on how the relationship ended, and I'd like to know what you were thinking when you wrote the letter, what parts of it you wrote, and what parts you contend were added to after you wrote that. You can tell me in narrative format, or I can interrupt you and ask you questions, whatever you're more comfortable with.
Okay. I'll just start from the beginning. If you need any clarification, feel free to interject. So I would say that the relationship started after he discharged. So I think he discharged like mid end August. And then he reached out to me, asked about my religious background, kind of got to know each other a little bit more as like a friend, relationship. I offered to have him, come to church with me as well as another therapist, Emily Johnson, because we went to the same church at the time. And then we ended up going to get coffee together. We spoke for about 3 to 4 hours.
Okay, real quick, was the coffee or church first?
So from what I remember, I had invited him to church and then he was supposed to join us. And then he had an accident in his apartment where he fell off a shower chair, popped his shoulder, and then he ended up going to the hospital, Thompson Peak at Honor Health. So he didn't go to church with us. We went and got coffee first, and then he went to church with us later on. And I think that would be more like probably beginning of September, is from what I remember, or mid-September. And then after, like, having conversation with coffee, that's kind of where feelings developed. And it kind of went on from that. I think we officially got the, like, boyfriend-girlfriend status beginning of October. That's whenever I started to tell, like, my parents and stuff like that. He actually met my parents mid-October as well. They were visiting from out of state, so we went to go see them in Flagstaff. And then Mr. Beer also asked about how the relationship ended and what the reasons were, and then he asked you to reflect on the letter.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to the letter first, because that's more temporal. That's just in the thing. You wrote a letter.
Yeah.
And I understand there's some concerns about the letter. And then
yeah.
Just tell me how the relationship ended.
Okay. So back in December, SY had gotten into another car accident. So obviously trying to get a letter of support from a physical therapist. I had encouraged him to reach out to other therapists that he'd worked with, such as Nicole Lockwood, who's actually also on the call. As well as reach out to another therapist he had worked with before, to kind of get that letter of support. By the time that he needed it, it was like the day before it was due. And neither of those therapists either had reached out to one of them or the other one just hadn't responded. So he asked me to write it. I told him I didn't feel comfortable writing it, but he said we'd write it together. So I actually wrote parts of the letter, and it was on his computer. And then he took the computer from me afterwards, after I was done writing it, and he sent it to his attorney. However, whenever he took the computer, I knew he was making changes to it, but I, at the time, had trusted that it was within, you know, my comfort. And yeah. So
what role did you see yourself in when you were writing that letter?
I saw it as like his girlfriend, first of all. So just like seeing how he did throughout his course of care, just being someone that had seen it and encouraged like good health and stuff like that. I did treat him a handful of times back in the hospital. So just kind of like showing that I was a physical therapist. But not in terms of providing any private care.
I believe you provided a letter with some highlighting on it. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
It's my understanding that you contend that the highlighted portion is stuff that you did not approve that was added. Is that correct understanding?
Yes, correct.
So you, I'm going to use a word that's going to sound bad, but I promise it's not. I'm just an attorney. You admit that you wrote the non-highlighted stuff, right?
Yes.
One thing that concerns me about this letter is, you know what word doesn't appear in the letter? Girlfriend. There's nothing in the letter that indicates that you're writing this in any capacity except as a physical therapist. And that, I will tell you, that's concerning to me.
Okay, understand.
SY was receiving physical therapy services throughout this period of time, right? Not from you, but from other providers.
In and out, yes. He wasn't the most compliant, but yes.
And it is concerning to me that there's no indication in this letter that you are not currently providing treatment. And if I got this, I would assume that you were providing treatment to him.
That's a fair statement.
Okay, so tell me how you believe the relationship ended. And just tell me what happened.
Sure. Yeah, so it was in the beginning of May. It was the first Friday of May. We were planning to try and find a house together to rent along with my roommate, Sarah, who's also a therapist. And we had one of our applications had been accepted that week. I thought it'd be a good thing because we've been having some issues in the relationship throughout the course of the last few months before that. I thought it would kind of help, you know, amend things. But it was just that gut feeling that I didn't feel like it was right. And So there were just a lot of small things that I just felt like it wasn't a good fit. So I ended the relationship that Friday morning.
Do you want to talk about how the financial discoveries overlapped those conversations about the text messages? Yeah, because Mr. Greer was talking about the text messages.
Let me ask my question.
I'm sorry.
Those text messages that were sent were the text messages that you received from SY, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you feel like if you didn't have a telephone conversation with SY that he was going to report you to Honor Health and the board?
So I actually met with him twice in person. I drove to him 40 minutes each time, and I tried to make amends of the ending of the relationship, and he actually verbally attacked me the second time. So that's why I started to refuse to meet with him again. There were several phone calls that happened throughout the course of that following week, but each time it was him accusing me of certain things, yelling at me. I even had my roommate kind of in the background listening to it because I just couldn't take it on my own. So I tried to meet with him and talk to him several times.
You've taken some continuing education. I see the PBI complete professional course. Is that 2 hours? Is that the 2-hour course?
I believe so, yeah.
That's not the real big, long professional boundaries course, right?
No.
There's and a 24-hour one and a 12-hour one.
And this wasn't either of those ones. This was a 2-hour one. Okay. And then it was another one that is, it looks like it was 13 minutes.
It was just through my work. It was one that they offered through Select University.
Having taken that education, do you understand our concern for professional boundaries?
Yes, I do understand that.
I don't have any other questions for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other board members probably do. Maybe they don't.
Dr. Raznick, at any point during your relationship with SY, where you were actually labeled as boyfriend or girlfriend, were you providing any kind of treatment?
No, absolutely not.
But I never, you know, going to his house, he says this hurts, oh, let me take a look at it, none of that. Okay. Why do you think, because I know you're proposing that he doctored the document that you wrote for him, why do you think that he wrote in that document that you were providing treatment?
Because he needed it for his attorney in order to get money that he wanted.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? SY, would you like to make any closing comments?
No, ma'am.
Ms. Bivens or Dr. Jaroznik, would you like to make any closing comments?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
So Mr. Greer, I'm going to let you lead us off here and tell us what you're thinking.
I hate this case. I hate this case a lot. This case is the example case of why we need professional boundaries and why we don't engage in romantic relationships with our clients or patients. I feel that the complaint was brought in bad faith. I think that the complainant is trying to use the board as a tool to hurt Dr. Yuraznik. And I also think that Dr. Yuraznik probably significantly erred in entering into a relationship with SY. I think she knows it. I don't think this is going to be a reoccurring problem in her practice. But I also am aware of the three other cases that we've adjudicated on this very issue. And, you know, I'm torn on this case. I hate this case. I really don't like the result that I think we need to get to. But I see it going there.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel. What really troubles me is the letter. You know, the letter, you know, I've tried to talk myself into a situation where, hey, she discharged him. They didn't start the relationship till approximately a month later. She's a hospitalist, so it is a cleaner break. And then there's this letter where she doesn't say I'm his girlfriend. She says I'm a physical therapist. She signs it as a physical therapist. And I understand that he took that letter and probably added stuff to it. But even the stuff that's undisputed that's wrote, this isn't a letter from a girlfriend. This is a letter from a physical therapist. And so in that case, she is his physical therapist. And we have a boundary issue. And I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like the board feeling like we're continuing. You know, like I said, I don't like this case. I would love to dismiss it, but I don't think I can.
Yeah. I feel like your assessment is really pretty spot on. This is very hard for us. You know, certainly I've been asked to write letters post discharge for people, but I've never had a personal relationship with them. So that was never an issue. So that comment that you made really made me sit back and think. I'm like, oh goodness. Wow. I didn't even consider putting the two together. And so I appreciate your ability to look at that. But after the discussion and after the comments, I would agree. Dismissing it would be lovely, but I feel like we need to look at a significant ethics course.
Dr. Bastillo, in that, would it be okay if I move to go into executive session? I have some
Absolutely.
Questions for Harris that I think are more appropriate in
Yep.
executive session. I move to go into executive session to obtain
second. Place.
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session to obtain legal advice. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. The board will go into executive session. It's 11 o'clock right now. This recording will end. The recording will begin again when the board returns. All of you in attendance right now can stay here and wait for the board's return. Staff, I'm going to end the recording.